From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. In just a few minutes, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he continues a series of messages on the subject of prayer, focusing especially on the Lord's Prayer as recorded in Matthew chapter 6. Our approach to God in prayer must take into account who He is. We are to remember that God is sovereign, He is holy, all-wise, He's almighty. Further, we must remind ourselves that our principal thought must be for His glory, that His will is always the best. Then let us remember that God answers prayer. He delights to do so. Before concluding this message, Dr. Cairns speaks of Christ's intercessory work for His people, for He now appears in the presence of God for us.
If ever you have to stand in court before a judge on anything serious, you will know the value of a good attorney or advocate, or at least you hope you'll have a good attorney or a good advocate. The Bible tells us that the Christian has an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us He now appears in the presence of God for us. John the Apostle wrote that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, as an advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ appears before God to plead our cause. Now, let that sink in. He now appears in the presence of God for us. And why does He appear there? He appears to plead our cause, to hold us up and plead on our behalf before God. The idea is of an intercessor, yes, but the idea is of more than an intercessor. The idea in the advocate is one who is presenting arguments on our behalf. Now, He has the greatest argument to present on behalf of His people. It is an argument that demands that they be accepted, that they be welcomed into heaven, that they never be condemned and cast out into hell, but that they be given the highest place in glory. That argument is the shed blood of Christ. The same Christ who died and shed His blood now lives to present His blood before God. A great Scottish theologian, Hugh Martin, in a wonderful work on the atonement, spoke of Christ presenting His blood as an objective plea. In other words, Christ as our advocate is not acting the way advocates act on earth. In human courts of so-called justice, lawyers appearing on behalf of a guilty client will conjure every reason, true or false, every loophole in the law, to advocate the cause of their client, to seek either to get him off or to lessen his sentence. That's not how our advocate works with God. He's not looking for any lessening of the law. He's not looking for any loopholes in the law. He's not making up any stories. He's not telling some false theory as to why God should accept us. No, He is presenting an objective plea, a plea of absolute value and merit and truth. He's presenting His blood and He's saying, Father, I have died in the place of these people. I lived in their place. I lived fulfilling the law of God for them, to work out for them a perfect righteousness. I have died to put away the guilt of their sin. In other words, I have fulfilled the law in its precept, and I have paid the law fully in its penalty. in the name of these people. They are mine, and they, being mine, have a right to go to heaven, not because of what they have done, but because of what I have done. Father, look upon my precious blood. That's the basis of the advocacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. My, what a glorious truth it is that he now appears in the presence of God for us. Is Christ your advocate? Is that your certainty? Are you sure that when you meet God, it'll not be a matter of you or anybody else trying to conjure up some false reason why you should escape hell and enter heaven, but it will be the matter that Christ, the advocate, has given the perfect reason why you should enter heaven. Oh, it's imperative that you have Christ as your Savior. There's a hymn that says, I have a Savior, he's pleading in glory, a dear, precious Savior, though earth friends be few, and now he is watching in tenderness o'er me. And oh, that my Savior were your Savior too. That's my prayer. Oh, that my advocate were your advocate too.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We'd like to encourage you to take advantage of some of the free literature we offer on the program. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The theme of the current issue is the subject of temptation. In 5 articles, various ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church discuss such issues as how to recognize the temptation to sin, the temptation of Christ, and overcoming temptation. Among other articles of interest in this issue, you'll find a focus on the land of Macedonia, as well as the inspiring testimony of a young man born with cerebral palsy who is a glowing witness for Christ. A copy is available simply for the asking, and we promise that there will be no follow-up letters soliciting funds. For your free copy, just write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you soon.
As God's people, we come and we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, and we're so busy thinking of something else, we haven't even stopped to consider the import of the words which art in heaven. He is in heaven, and it's heaven that our heart must be set upon. It's the heavenly things that we must be panting after as the heart pants after the water brooks. So our souls must pant after Him. I tell you, there is no excuse for you and me living out little, shallow, almost meaningless lives. There's no excuse for it. Whatever our sphere, you may be called of God to spend most of your life in a home in the kitchen or doing the things around the home. There you may have, should have, the fullness of God. You may be called to deal with the public, doing manual work, teaching, selling, whatever the case may be. The old Puritan doctrine should never be lost of the sanctity of every legitimate calling to which God puts a Christian's hand. And in that calling, you should know and may know the fullness of God. There is a fullness. I would ask you sometime just to take your New Testament and see what the New Testament actually says about fullness. How it uses this word. How it opens up vast horizons to the people of God. How it lifts them out of the humdrum of life. And it sets them in heaven. When you pray, "Our Father which art in heaven," don't be satisfied to pray for the nuts and bolts of life on earth. Oh yes, you may pray for those. Jesus does go on to say, "Give us this day our daily bread." That's legitimate. But first and foremost, give your attention to things that are in heaven. Do you know much of the fullness of Christ? Do you ever rejoice in the fullness of His love and grace to you? Do you ever experience anything of the communication of the fullness of His provision for you? Do you ever know anything of the fullness of the power and the blessing of His Spirit? These are the things in heaven. And when we pray, "Our Father which art in heaven," we're saying, "Lord, before I even get to pray for the pressing needs of earth, I want to set my affections on things that are above." And then the final lesson we must learn is you must expect the Father's bountiful answer. When you pray, "Our Father which art in heaven," you're using language which the Lord Jesus Christ deliberately employed to teach His people that God not only is all-powerful, all-wise, all-sovereign, but He is all-willing to answer prayer. We have the notion so much, you know, that God is sort of tight-fisted. Well, with our lips we say, "Oh yes, God answers prayer." But we have this sort of notion that it's hard to get anything from the Lord. But it's not. Remember Mueller's 3 points in this matter. And I think very often where we go wrong is on one point or the other. Either what we're praying for is not God's work or God's will, in which case we're better to drop it. Or we're not pursuing it in God's way. Or, as I have found most frequently, I have not waited God's time. Remember that the great George Mueller, who could pray in food for 6,000 orphans and not one of them ever missed a meal, who could pray in what in today's terms would be tens of millions of dollars without ever making an appeal or without ever making a need known, that same great
prayer warrior, the man who could, like that, see a squealing infant in a service put to sleep. Just, let's ask God to put baby to sleep, and just like that, he went to sleep. The man who could pray and a fog off the coast of Newfoundland that had persisted for days, and according to the meteorologists were going to persist for many more days, was lifted in 2 minutes. That same mighty man of prayer had to pray for 60 years and then die before his two best friends, the men whose salvation he had made a matter of daily intercession, came to Jesus Christ. God's timing is all important. But God is willing to answer prayer. We must trust that. We must be assured of that. Jesus said in Luke 11:13, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Matthew's version of that, he gives a little wider statement. The Lord Jesus made the same statements, the same kinds of statements, with variations from time to time. And this is one of the variations. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" The Lord Jesus is saying, listen, you fathers on earth, at best you're sinners. You're evil. You're depraved. But you know how to give good gifts to your children. Now, if an earthly father looks upon his child and he sees a need, not just a greed, but he sees a need, and he realizes it is good for the child to have that need met, it is well within his capacity to meet the need, and the timing is right. All his wisdom and resources say, this is the thing to do. Which of you would not do that for your earthly offspring? You, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. So the Lord Jesus said, argue from that. You have a heavenly Father. You remember what I said last week? The heavenly Father is totally beyond any concept that we can have of fatherhood here on earth. It is the perfection of divine fatherhood. Your heavenly Father will give good gifts to his children. And what among those good gifts does Christ especially single out for mention? He gives the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, the mighty enabling grace of the Spirit, the outpouring of the Spirit, the reviving grace of the Spirit. These are the things that the Savior has in mind. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, and which of you doesn't? The Savior says, remember, when you pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven," you're praying to one who is not only all able, but all willing. God loves to answer prayer. What does the psalmist tell us? His ears are open to the cries of his people. The idea is that there is an eagerness in God to hear the cry of his people. Why? Because he is their Father who is in heaven. God is transcendently great. The Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. He is so great that we cannot begin to conceive of his greatness. But he is our Father. And the all-wise, all-powerful God of glory is willing and waiting to hear the cries of the weakest of his children. When you pray, say, "Our Father," think of those words. Let them sink in. "Then which art in heaven," let those words sink in. Let the fullness of their meaning enthrall your heart. Learn the lessons and put them into practice as you pray. And you will discover that when this initial part of the Lord's Prayer really grips your heart, then will you be able to go through the rest of the prayer and make its petitions with full-hearted faith and enter into its blessings with a mighty reception.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.